Going along with our scripture reading this morning on faith, our sermon this morning, I would like to continue from the book of James. Our text, which I'll get to in just a little bit, will be James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. There was a third grade teacher who noticed one of her third graders wearing a Fitbit watch, which prompted the teacher to ask, "Are you tracking your steps?" "No," said the little girl. "I wear this for mommy all day so that when daddy gets home, she can show him how active she really was during the day." If I said to you, "Thou shalt not think of a purple elephant," suddenly you may begin to start thinking about nothing else but a purple elephant. But if I then set before you a huge hot fudge sundae, creamy bluebell vanilla ice cream, laced with deep dark fudge, topped with mounds of whipped cream, lightly toasted almonds, and a juicy red cherry, I bet the purple elephant would no longer be in your mind, because you now have been captivated by something much better right before your eyes. I believe that's what Paul was telling us in a verse in Galatians 5 and 16. In the book of Galatians 5 and 16, Paul tells us with authority this. He says, "I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Your sinful nature craved were like that purple elephant. But now there should be something new, a new life. Jesus has given us a new blessing, a new way of life, a promise of eternal life that should help us, like the ice cream, override those other thoughts in our head. So when you think about our world today, have you ever noticed how many imitation products there really are? I guess you could call them fake. You think about it. I can walk around in style with a fake Rolex that looks just like the real thing. I could have fake or imitation perfume or cologne. There are individuals that maybe have fake nails, fake hair, fake Apple products, fake Nike Air Jordans, fake Adidas clothing. I can put fake sugar in my coffee. I can wear fake designer jeans or clothes, along with fake leather, while I'll talk about the fake news. I think you get the point. Of course, sometimes fake works just as well as being the real thing. Sometimes fake or false teeth are better than no teeth. But there is one area in life where fake doesn't work, and you definitely need the real thing. We need to have real faith, not fake faith. So the title of our sermon this morning is Real or Fake Faith. When you think about it, without faith, we would not be able to overcome some of the obstacles we face in life. Fake faith will never have the power to help you save you. Fake faith will never answer prayers, nor will it transform us into a new creation, as we read in the scriptures. We are continuing in the book of James, and as I said this morning, we're looking at James 2, beginning in verse 14. The hope for today is that we will better understand what fake faith is, and that it will lead us to an understanding a little more of what it means to put our faith into action. I'd like to start by reading from verse 14 down through verse 20, and I will be reading from the King James Version. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, "Depart in peace, but be ye warned and filled," notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit if you just speak without doing? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. But the devils, even them devils, also believe and tremble. But wilt thou now know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Some people believe that the verse I read from Galatians by Paul, and then now what we read by James, some people believe that these ideas contradict each other. Really, I think they complement each other. Paul is emphasizing, how do we know we are saved? Whereas James is emphasizing how to show that you are saved. Paul focuses on the root of our salvation, which is eternal. It is unseen. While James focuses on the effects of our salvation, which is external, and it can easily be seen by others. So James tells us some things about real faith. But it's interesting that he starts out by telling us some things real faith is not. Notice that I'm going to go back through and read some of these verses that we just read and how he states what they are not. James 2:14, first verse I started with. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? The key is when James wrote, if someone says they have faith, that's the main point in this first test of showing you have real faith. In other words, real faith is more than just words. It's more than just a memorized prayer. It's more than just memorizing scripture. There are lots of people who have no faith that maybe can know the Bible and the history and so on, but maybe don't have a really deep-rooted faith as God would see it. Because we know there is more than just the knowledge. Those ones that talk about having doctorate degrees in philosophy and so on. Claiming that I have faith and knowing all the Christianese, knowing the buzzwords and what the theology is about it, all of it, doesn't mean that I have faith. This may sound rude, but just because I say I have faith doesn't really mean I have faith. Just because I say I can dunk a basketball doesn't mean I really can. No, I can't, in case you wondered. Just because I say I can play the piano doesn't mean I really can. No, can't do that either. Think about what's going on in our world right now. Between the pandemic, the social justice issues, the just recent past election, many people who claim to be Christians certainly may have acted in a way that we would not expect them to act. Actions speak louder than words. James is telling us, just because we say we have faith, doesn't mean we have faith. Faith is more than words. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you hear those words from Jesus? Just because you say Lord doesn't mean you will enter heaven. It's not just what we say. It's what we do in the name of faith. Now, I have to be a little careful here because I'm not the judge. But our actions will be a true representation of our faith. That's what Jesus is meaning. If you have nothing to show for your faith, then you have to ask, how real is your faith? And I'm asking that to myself right now. So what value is fake faith? It has no value other than to delude ourselves and make us think that we're okay when maybe we really aren't. So real faith is more than just the words I say. And another example of fake faith comes in James. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 of the text. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good was that? Real faith is more than just an emotion or a lip service. That's the great example by James. If we see someone in need, someone is outside in the middle of winter without a jacket, and we look at them and say, hey man, I'll be praying for you that you can find some warm clothes. Or if we see someone in hunger, instead of just saying, let's pray, which, don't get me wrong, obviously prayer is very important in our Christian life, but we need to do more than just that. We need to satisfy their needs. If I shut my finger in the door and you're walking by, I want more than just you feeling sympathy for me and start to pray for me. I would like you to actually try to help me get that door open and get my finger out. And that's what we look at. Real faith is practical. It's messy, and it gets involved with people's needs. Next, James tells us that real faith is more than an idea I debate. He tells us this in verse 18 of the text. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What James is getting at here is that for some people, faith is just a conversation. It is an idea. It is a debate. Some people can talk about God and religion day and night, but they have no faith. They don't want to practice it. They just want to talk about it, to preach it and dissect it. Some people don't want to obey God. They'd rather debate God. They will talk and talk about God, but don't ask him to make a commitment towards what God expects for us. James is arguing that some people want to talk about faith, while others will talk about good works. James quickly dismisses both of these. He counters that by stating that I can show you my faith by my works. It's a contrast between three types of people. Person one are those who want to talk about the Bible. Person two, those who want to do good deeds. And person three, those who do both. They don't have to desire to show their faith other than to talk about God, never to demonstrate God to the world around them. What's key in this verse is when James says, I will show you my faith by my works. He's telling us that real faith is visible, that we can see faith in action. Let me ask you, how do you know when someone loves you? Is it just because they tell you they love you? Or is it the actions? Is it the deep-rooted knowing that they're there when you need them, especially when you need them the most? Knowing that that's the person you can trust on. And I guess that's a strong point. But if that's all there is to the love, we know just talking about it and saying, I love you, it's nice to hear, but we know that there's more than just the words. The best way to see someone's love is to experience their love. When you put love into action, now the words that I love you have true meaning. There's too many people who say I love you, but then don't love. Their love is abusive. Their love is dysfunctional. It's a love that tears down rather than build up. We know that's not love. Love is shown by the way we treat one another. We can't see faith until we see it in action. I can talk about faith all day. I can debate faith. Real faith has results. Real faith is visible to others. Now, we don't do things to be seen. We do them because we have been called by God to do them. We know that Jesus was our example. We could see Jesus' faith and relationship to the Father in his actions. And he asked us to do the same. In our scripture reading this morning, by faith, they did, right? By faith, and if you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it talks about their faith was shown by things that they did. By faith, Abraham, and willing to offer his son Isaac. So show me your faith, and then I will believe you have faith. Don't tell me about it. Don't talk about it. Don't quote it. Don't give me the feelings behind it. Show me your faith is real. When you repent of your sin and turn your life over to God through baptism, you should be a changed person. You become a new creature. Paul tells us in one of my favorite verses in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. The new has come. Isn't that a great promise? Paul is telling us that those old things, those old sinful habits, those old bad habits that you used to do, they will pass away. They will die. You have to let them die, and sometimes it takes work and years for this to happen. And when it does happen, you become a new creation. That old caterpillar works its way out of the cocoon and flies away as a beautiful butterfly. That should be the image of Christ and a Christ follower, each one of us as Christians, that we become that new creature. Real faith is more important than just the truth, I believe. James uses sarcasm to make this point. What does he say in verses 19 and 20, the last two verses of our text this morning? You believe that God is one. You do well. Right? People say, I believe in God. You do well. But what is the next statement? Even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? I can't tell you how many times people have come up and said, they boast, oh, I believe in God. Well, as if that's going to get them brownie points from God, maybe. It is important, truly, to believe in God, but we need to go more than that. Don't get me wrong. You definitely start, you have to believe in God. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and so on. But there is more to it than just a belief in God. James encounters that even the devils believe. They know that God exists, and they shudder because they know God's power. The devil believes in God. The devil has head knowledge, but he doesn't obey God. Saying I believe in God doesn't get us into heaven. It's kind of radical sounding, but even the demons believe in God. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not just something that we need to just say. We need to believe, and we need to act out. And real faith is more than a good idea. We know it is following Jesus. When Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Blessed are those, as he goes through, blessed are those. You are the salt of the earth. We know that there is an action that needs to take place. And that is my main point this morning. James is saying, we need to have action behind our words. We have many examples of individuals, like even when Jesus was talking to the churches in Revelation, and we have the example of some of the churches and some of those that had fallen aside because they lost that first love. It was more talking, and they lost that action that kind of followed behind it. So today, I'd like to encourage you to have action in our Christian faith, to act. It isn't always easy, but may we put forth action behind our words. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Those are great words to hear because they are action words. We are to be watchful, stand firm, act like men, be strong, and do anything that we can and everything in love. When people look at you and I, do they see us acting this way? Are we standing firm in the faith? Are we being strong? Are we acting like men? Are we doing all things in love? Those actions tell and answer the ultimate question. If I was arrested for being a Christian, and the case is being sent before the judge to determine if it should go to trial, is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Will people say they've seen a change in you? Because real faith always produces a changed life. Real faith is more than the words I say. It is more than an emotion or feeling. It is more than just an idea. And I'd like to close with this. Going back in the book of James, just chapter 1, verses right at the end of chapter 1, right prior to this chapter 2, James in his letter said, if any man among you, verses 26 and 27, if I didn't say, 26 and 27, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is what we look like. We know that it is almost an impossible task to be unspotted from the world, but that is our goal, that we would work to be separate from the world. Our actions will speak louder than our words, that we set our sights on things above, as it says in Colossians, that we would look to set our treasures in heaven, as Jesus always asked us to do. So this morning, the lesson is yours. May we have a true faith. May we have a faith that is real. May we use that faith in our lives. May we have the action behind it so that when somebody says, do you have faith, you can show them your faith by your works. If there's anyone in the need of the invitation song this morning, you have the opportunity to either come forward to be baptized or to come forward to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need is, you may come forward as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.